A sermon on these daughters? Have you read about them? Anybody here read about them? In my Bible reading this week, they got my attention. You know, when women want to get your attention, they can do that. Man, I'm telling you, they can't. Do I have a witness out there? I'm telling you, these ladies got my attention. And girls, they were kind of in a situation that you were in there. You know, the boys were getting all this stuff, and they were wondering, something's missing here. If you have your Bible, turn to Numbers 27. Numbers 27. And I'll get this thing adjusted. Oh, we're good. Numbers 27. I'm warm up here. We took the chill off before church, and now it's warm. Miss April, are you warm up here too? You just right? Well, I appreciate that attitude. Yeah, I wouldn't mind dropping it down. Get us back in the chill factor. Just sit close to your hubby. You might say, well, I'm not married. Well, slide in your seat. No. It'll warm up. It will. The body temperature here is worth 5 degrees at least. The number of people here, it really is. And if we have any pregnant people, that's another 5 degrees. So, all right. Yes. And I'm going to Florida. What am I going to do down there? All right. If you're able to stand, let's look at verse 1 through 7. I've got a baptismal right after at the end of the service. So only the boys that are behaving are going to get a pop. Only the boys that can give some good answers about this message will get a pop. And the girls, you get it no matter what. No. Hey, son, toughen up there. This isn't for sissies. I don't really want to be known as a softy, anyways. But I did grow up with, I did grow up with two daughters. Because I didn't grow up until I had them. It took two daughters to help me grow up. Two daughters and a wife. I am from a family of five boys. Mom, there you are. She is a survivor of five boys. I've told my wife this, Mom, don't take this personal, but every mother I've met that has had all boys, they're just a little bit eccentric. I'm teasing. Some of you women out there are looking at me, hey, listen, I know that look. The Lord knew I needed to learn about girls. He knew I needed to learn. And it only took three for me to learn. I love girls. I do. And you know, I love girls. I think they're great. I better read the scripture. Here we go, verse 1. Then came the daughters of, can you pronounce that word? Zelophehad. The son of Hefer. The son of Gilead. The son of Macher. Short for macaroni. The son of Manasseh. Of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters. Girls, these are great girl names. And if you want to change your name to one of these when you get older, you know, they have laws that would allow you to do this. For instance, here are the girls' names. Mala, Noah. I thought that was a guy's name. It's one of those neutral names like Tracy, Chris. You know, those names that go both ways. Terry Tracy. That's right. So we got Mala, Noah, and Hogla. I guarantee you she was a looker. I bet there were whistles that went on there. Hogla and Milcah and Tirzah. So if you're looking to have children and you have a daughter, the Bible is filled with some fascinating names. Five sisters, and God speaks very highly of these five sisters. Why don't we pray and I'll finish reading the rest. Father, bless the message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I need to take my jacket off. We need to read on. God allows us to see the names of these sisters, their father's name, which is very significant. And these sisters are about ready to do something that it's going to really make them stand out for a long time. Fact is, since this took place, we're looking at nearly 4,000 years. Their names are in the book of life here. What has taken place in chapter 26, Israel, this nation, no pop for you. That's good, because I want to give pop out to everybody. I'm only giving it out to people who pay attention. Okay, so Israel as a nation is at near the Jordan River. On the other side of the Jordan River is Canaan land. It is, God has promised to give them this beautiful country, all of it, and he's going to divide that country up amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. And in each tribe, each family will get a good portion of land. I mean, like 100 or so acres, maybe more, maybe 1,000 acres. There's a lot of land. So, and I'm telling you, though it's not in their possession, right now there are people living there that are bad people. And God's going to remove them. And when they go over Jordan, they're going to get all this land. Chapter 26, we didn't read it. Moses has been speaking to all the congregation of Israel, and he's telling them how it's going to be divided and how it will be passed on. And something is mentioned that creates a little stir. It will be passed on to the eldest son. And so that the original family member that receives it will maintain his name forever. This will always be his land, his legacy. It is his inheritance. When he dies, his kids will get it, and their kids will get it, and so on. These five sisters were listening, and we come to chapter 27, and they were about like some of you, like you two. And they said, and I'm sure they consulted with each other and said, he didn't mention what happens to the families that don't have any brothers. What happens to their land? Are they going to get any land? What's the deal there? What's that all about? And so all five of them, because when they come in a herd, they are very intimidating. All five of them come to Moses, and they're very respectful. And they got a question for Moses. If we're going to read this, I want you to read this with me. Verse 2, and they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. want to pause before I read on. Their complaint is this. Dad's not with us. He was a rightful heir to an inheritance. He was rightful because he never rebelled against Moses. He wasn't part of the rebellion. He wasn't part of the crowd that when the 10 spies revolted and said, "Hey, it's a beautiful land, but there's giants there and they'll kill us." And many of the people said, "Oh, we don't want to go, we don't want to go." He was not one of them either. Therefore, he was one who was rightfully an heir. And honestly, we're talking nearly 40 years have expired since that incident of the spies going in and then changed their mind. And so he may have been 18 or 19 years old, their dad. And after that, in the 40 years of traveling, he's got five daughters. But he ends up dying of basically natural causes in his own sin. By the way, we will all die because of our own sin. Our body is corrupted by sin. I had a guy out visiting the other day say, "You know, if there's a God, then why did so-and-so die?" Like, everybody dies. People have been dying for a long time. Now, it was personal to him. It was a little child. But I'm still like, and I didn't want to be rude or anything like that, and I don't believe I was. But it's sin. Sin brings forth death. So this guy dies. But he was one who would have got property. So these girls are asking this question. How come, why should the name of our father be forgotten? That's a concern of theirs. I move on here because I want to read through this and we'll get to the actual message. So Moses, verse 5, Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and I love this, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right." Right there, ladies and gentlemen, is enough to get your attention and my attention. If somebody's speaking right, then we ought to learn something from them. There's something there to get, to grab something from, to prosper from, to be edifying, to be helpful. They speak right. They're not liars. They're telling the truth. God says to Moses, they speak right. And then God says to Moses, "Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren." It's kind of like this. "Thou shalt surely give them a pop, even though they're girls." No, actually, it'd be more like this. "Thou shalt surely give them a pop, because they are girls. But the boys, keep an eye on them." And so, "Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them." And he goes on and talks about how this is going to be passed on. And then in chapter 36, there's something else brought up that, well, what if they get married? Well, in this case, if they get married, the husband, he doesn't take on their name, but he doesn't get to take that property and put it over in his family's name. It stays in the house of Zelophehad. Yeah. So, what are some things we can learn from these gals that speak right? Here's the first thing I learned. They were paying attention in Sunday school. Because only people who pay attention in Sunday school ask good questions. They were paying attention when the Word of God was being preached. They were paying attention when Moses was given the declaration of division and how the property was going to be divided. They were paying attention to that. And I'm telling you what, though it may not seem like interesting reading there in chapter 26, them gals were all ears. And it is absolutely, listen to me, I'm telling you, the people that prosper, the people that flirt, by the way, did those girls get God's blessing? Did God say, "Hey, they speak right"? Did God say they're going to get an inheritance and a property? Did he say that? Yes, he did. Those girls got what they were wanting from the Lord because they were paying attention in church. I'm telling you what, a lot of people don't get what they want out of God. They don't get what God wants to give them because they ain't paying attention in church. You say, that's too simple. I'm glad it is. I think one of the biggest problems in America amongst Christians is we ain't listening. Jesus said over and over and over and over and over again, he that hath an ear, these things, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Let him hear. Listen on purpose. I'm telling you what, there's something to that. The fact of the matter is, it may come a day when God's talking to you. You. God's got a particular message for you. You don't want to miss that. And not only that, it's all right to ask questions. That's how you learn. These girls had some concerns there. So I want to first of all say they were listening. And that's a good lesson right there for every person, every child of God. Learn to listen to. And by the way, when God speaks, it's worth listening to. But hey, hold on. Hey, listen, dear wives. When you're talking to your husband and he's going, and you're talking to your husband and you're talking about some things that need to be done around the house, that leaky faucet that's been there, that toilet that keeps on running, and that moldy smell under the house that's just been going on and on. He said he's going to get to that 3 years ago, but he's sitting there in front of the TV watching football, and you're talking to him about that thing, and he's going, Hey, Les, and maybe you're telling him about this vacation. You're telling him about, oh, hey, you decided to go ahead and buy a new car, and he's going, It's real quick when you start saying, hey, you know, I spent the last of our savings there, and he's going, It's pretty obvious he's not listening to you. And by the way, when he's not listening to you, how's that make you feel? How's that make you feel? When someone doesn't listen to you that's supposed to love you, talk to me. How's it make you feel? That's right. Hey, when God's word is open, God's voice, he uses other voices. He'll use all kinds of voices. But when God's word is being read, being preached, when you're reading his word, God is talking to you. And listen, when God sees people who are paying attention, he knows, oh, they love me. They're interested in me. And people who are interested in God, God's interested in them. I'm telling you that right now. These gals were paying attention. What's the next thing I notice? Oh, I love this next thing. This is just awesome. When these gals came up to meet Moses with their question, here was their concern. They were concerned about the honor of their father. Hey, listen, their father's honor was in question. We're going to be going over to the promised land there, and our daddy's gone. But he was worthy of a possession. And if when we go over there, we're going to get married. And if nothing takes place here now, they're going to forget all about our daddy. A worthy man. He's going to be completely forgotten from the history books. A worthy man. That's not good enough for us. We want our father remembered. We want our father honored. Moses, and what God say? They speak right. They speak right. Let me tell you something right now, Christian, we ought to be concerned about the honor of our father. And you know what I'm talking about. My Bible tells me that when I received Jesus Christ, my Savior, I became a child of God. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, here's how you need to pray now. When you pray, say, our Father. Our Father. Oh, that was inclusive. That gave us so many things there. Number one, that told us that Jesus and I are brothers. Oh, my mercy. And two, I'm in the family. I'm in the family. And I'm telling you what, every child of God ought to be concerned about the honor of the Father. Every child of God. And if, hey, listen, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why people are forgetting about the fathers, because we ain't speaking up. We ain't talking. I know that's not good English, but you understand it. I speak good redneck. We need to be talking about our Father. My Heavenly Father. And listen, I don't know how your earthly father was. I know some people had it really bad growing up, and I'm sorry about that. But don't take that out on your Heavenly Father. Because nobody loves you like your Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world. Oh, my mercy. He wants to show you He loves you. He'll take care of you. But oh, the question, my friend, is, are you standing up for Him? Do your kids know who He is? Do your friends know who your Father is? I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. Do your neighbors know? I tell you, we shouldn't be ashamed of our Father. What a blessing. These gals are willing to stand up for the Father. I'll move on. I mean, that's worth staying, parking at for a little while. Something else that's absolutely awesome. This is awesome. Because wait a minute. Right here's the Jordan River. Can you see it? There's some carp. Big old nasty catfish. Oh, there's some trout. Here we go. There's even smallmouth in there. It's a big old Jordan River. It's flowing. Here we are on this side. On that side is the most beautiful country God ever made there. And God's promised to give that to us. But we're not there yet. And it's just a promise right now. It's just a promise. I can't even put my finger on it yet. I can see it. But I can't put my finger. I can't really smell it. But I can see it. I've heard about it. It's just a promise. Which means I'm going to have some faith to believe that God's going to keep His promise. We're actually going to inherit that. You see, because the reality is this. If those girls didn't believe God, why would they even be concerned about asking? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, faith is the foundation of our spiritual growth. They believe the promises of God. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as a born-again believer, you have an inheritance. You have a citizenship in the heavenlies. Hey, there's a mansion laid up yonder for you. God has real life for you in the next life. It's just as real as it's going to be just as real in heaven as it is right here. Just as sure as you're sitting on green chairs, I'm telling you, you're going to be walking on streets of gold. Just as sure as you're sitting next to somebody and you're able to bump shoulders with other people, I'm telling you, you'll be bumping shoulders with other people in heaven. Just as sure as we sang the praises of God here in this church, we're going to be singing the praises of God in heaven. Amen. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, right now, though we're not there, it is our possession. Though we can't see it, oh, it's our possession. And the factor that makes the difference is, can I believe? These gals believed. Let's relax a little bit. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in the promises of God's Word. Faith in the heaven that's been prepared for us that have received Jesus. Faith in the fact that Jesus bled and died for my sins and I'm acceptable before God on His behalf. Faith. I have an inheritance. It's interesting, the name Zelophehad means firstborn. The only begotten of God, you and I are, in a sense, children of the only begotten of God because of Jesus. Wow. What made Him step up? Well, they were listening when the Word was being spoken. They were concerned about their honor, the honor of their father. And they had faith to believe in the promises of God. They spoke right, says the Lord. They spoke up about matters that had not been covered. They spoke up about their father. They spoke up because of their faith. And they spoke up and got their inheritance. And when I first read this, when I first read it, the very first thing that flashed across my brain that got my attention about the five daughters of Zelophehad was, they spoke up. They spoke up. What a blessing it would be if God's people would learn to speak up. Call unto me, says the Lord, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. The Bible tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Speak up, child of God. Speak up. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. But where do we lack? We don't speak up. We don't speak up. Oh, you thought I was talking about speaking up to the world. Now, that's important. But I think you need to learn to speak up to the Lord and let Him know, hey, I'm here. As much as people talk, hey, listen, as much as people talk about prayer, I don't think they practice it. Not nearly as much as they talk about it. Not nearly as much. Because I truly believe you get a praying church, God's going to do some things that are beyond our understanding. You start becoming a praying child of God, you're going to see God do things in your life that only God can do. And God's going to get the credit. God will open doors that no man can open. And God will close doors that no man can close. And God can take a Joseph and transform him. And God can protect a David and use a David to conquer a Goliath. And God can take a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and get them out of the fiery furnace. I'm telling you, we need to learn to speak up. Speak up in prayer. In prayer. I'll close with this. Just a simple little story. This granddaddy took his... He had a number of little grandkids, and he couldn't handle all of them at one time, so he told him, he said, one by one, I'll take you to the zoo. And so in this one of his sons had two daughters, and so he took the oldest daughter first and took her to the zoo, and they spent the day together looking at the animals and the elephants and the tigers and the lions and the leopards and the zebras and all of that. And they had a great day, and they he brought her back home. And the next week, he took his other granddaughter, her sister, and they went to the zoo, and they had a great time. They saw all the sights, but this girl, she comes home, and she's got peanuts in one hand, cotton candy in the other. She's got Kool-Aid stain on her face, and she's got a bag of toys she's trying to hold on, and she's got all this stuff, and the older sister says, Pappy, Pappy, how come she got all that? How come I didn't get any of that? He said, well, honey, she spoke up. She spoke up. You know what I'd love? I'd love for the young people of this church to pray for God's blessing on this church. I want your prayers. I know God hears you. I know He does. Oh, listen, I tell you, folks, listen, dear ladies, if you pray for your husbands, if you pray for your wives, parents, if you pray for your kids, and kids, if you pray for your parents, and if we'd all pray for our country, and if we'd ask God to do a work in the leaders of our country, who knows what God will do, but we got to speak up. Nineveh was preserved from destruction because they spoke up. They spoke up. There might be somebody in the room this morning who doesn't even know they're going to heaven. You don't even know for sure that where you're going to spend your eternity the moment you take your last breath. And maybe in your heart this morning there's a knocking on your heart and you're wondering, is God talking to me? Friend, I'm here to tell you, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, God wants you to know. He's made a promise, but you're going to have to speak up. Whosoever shall call, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, bless the message, minister to our hearts. With heads bowed, eyes closed, those who are going to get baptized, if you'll slip out of your seat and go ahead and get ready.